And I wrote a note to each of my children and said, I am so grateful that I was able to stay home with you until this particular time. I have no clue what God is going to do or what I'm going to do, but it's an opportunity that I'm taking. And that was truly an expansion of my talents that God had given me and the ability to spread my wings. And I'm eternally grateful.
Life is messy and unpredictable.
Being able to find joy in the weeds of life is so important. I'm Beth.
And I'm Kim. And we are so glad you've joined us as we figure out how to hold joy in one hand and struggle in the other.
Welcome to Joy in the Weeds.
Well, in just a couple days, it is my birthday. And to celebrate my birthday, I have invited a very special guest to be with us today. It is Lynn Ortel. I adore her, love her. We have been friends, and she has been my mentor for a very long time. And we had this conversation, which I know you are going to enjoy, but the beginning and the ending before we were officially recording for the podcast, even those moments, every single moment of this conversation was so incredibly powerful and special and meaningful. And so we have decided to give you the full uncut version. So please listen and enjoy as Kim and I have just a beautiful conversation with the amazing Lynn Ortel.
Or bird?
A favorite flower or bird? Mm-hmm. Yes, I have both.
Okay, which, what?
Favorite flower? Is a yellow rose.
Oh, mine too.
Really?
Yes. Yes.
Oh, my land. That has history. So yes,
Okay.
Anyway, and my favorite bird. All right, here we go. Is a cardinal.
Oh.
You know why?
Okay. No, but you're gonna tell me, right?
You got it. You can't miss a cardinal. And at one time in my life, I was just out there. Mm-hmm. And it seemed like there was no hiding. Mm-hmm. Whatever happened, it was there, you know. Mm-hmm. So it was, and the other thing, the other side, flip side of that is the cardinal didn't leave in the winter.
Mm-hmm.
And so in the winter of life, I didn't leave anybody or anything. I don't know if that makes any sense.
Yeah, there's a sermon in that one, sister.
Well, I never preached it. Just thought it was.
So explain why the yellow rose is so important.
Yeah.
The yellow rose, it was my mom's favorite. Mm-hmm. And so at our birth, the three of my siblings, my two siblings and myself, my dad would always deliver or give her yellow roses. Now, how they could afford it is beyond my comprehension. But she did.
Wow.
She received them.
Wow. Because and there was no such thing as Sam's Club roses at the time.
Yeah, right. No, there was no. But there again, the cost was cheaper, those, you know, decades and decades ago. And then it was interesting. I was at the dentist when our youngest son was probably around 10 years old. We were homeschooling, so he would come to the dentist with me. And I was in the chair. One time I came out and he looked at me kind of sheepishly. And I noticed he had this green, long thing in his lap. And I said, oh, son, what's going on? Well, I found out the story a little later. There was a floral shop around the corner. And somehow in his kindness, because he had a ton of sensitivity, he left the dentist office, much to my chagrin, went to the floral shop and said to the florist lady, I would like to buy a flower for my mother.
Really?
Yes. Well, what kind of flower? Oh, she loves yellow roses. Well, first of all, she said, how much money do you have? And he said, 47 cents. He looked at it and said, 47 cents. And she said, oh, so she went and got a carnation. Somehow or other that seemed to fit. He said, well, I really wanted to get my mom's favorite color, favorite flower. Well, what is that? A yellow rose. And he explained, my mom's in the dentist chair and she likes the dentist, but she doesn't like being in the dentist chair. And so I want to get her a flower to cheer her up. So the florist lady says, no, I think I have a yellow rose for that price. And she went in, bless her heart, and got him a yellow rose for that price. And I don't know how much it cost, you know, whatever. But he was so excited to give me a yellow rose and yet scared because he knew he had left the dentist office when he was supposed to be doing his schoolwork. Anyway, so we brought her back. We made a little connection, brought her back some maple syrup that he had made, on and on and on. Anyway, it was precious. And then when I had my children, Mike got me yellow roses. So when we had our children, I should say.
That's beautiful. That's a beautiful story.
Are you home, Kim?
Yes.
Okay. And Beth, you're in?
I'm in Florida. I am on vacation with my sister, my brother, and my sister's two kids. So we just traveled down here yesterday, and today is head out to the beach day. That's why I asked to do this early.
I can't believe how early it is for you, Lynn.
It's a little bit, but that's, you know, I get up, usually Davey will be arriving any minute. So Mike's on call, but this is normal time. And I have to say, before whatever we begin, Kim, I want to thank you, even though I don't know you very well. I want to thank you for being Beth's, I was going to say side something, but I'm going to say side heart.
Side
heart. Because there's nothing like being in leadership and having someone who is different yet passionate about what you believe and what your mission is and what your focus is and what you're trying to accomplish. And when you're in leadership and you have someone who is a heartbeat but different, I don't think you can get anything more valuable other than the inspiration of the Holy Spirit, of course. But on earth, I think God sets that up because you complement each other. It's almost like a professional marriage. And so I just wanted to say thank you right off the bat to you for your commitment, not only to what you're doing and the function of that, but to Beth as a friend, as a coworker, as a heartbeat. There's nothing that's irreplaceable, Kim. So thank you.
That's very kind.
Amen to that. Well, I'm going to have a quick prayer and then we're just going to start. I'm actually recording all of this, so we'll see.
Breathe, Lynn. It's okay.
We don't have to use all of it, but I think a lot of it's been really beautiful. So maybe, but anyway, let's bow our heads for a quick word of prayer before we start. Our Father in heaven, thank you so much for both Kim and Lynn and this opportunity to get together and just have a conversation. Lord, please be with us today. May this time just really be pleasing to you. May it glorify you in all that we say and do. We pray these things in your name. Amen.
Amen.
Well, we kind of already started, and I don't know if we're going to use all that because we've just been chatting, but it's been beautiful chatting. So, but officially, welcome to this episode of Joy in the Weeds. I'm so stoked. So today is a really special day for me. My birthday, when this podcast drops, is just in a few days. And so I decided that I wanted to invite one of the dearest people in my life to be on the podcast sort of as a birthday present to me. And so I invited Lynn Ortel, and we're going to let her kind of give her introduction as we do with all of our guests. But before she does that, Lynn has really just been a lifeline for me over and over and over again. And I can't imagine, and you'll hear a lot of that today, but just there have been a lot of times in my life where I think, you know, all of us have these where you think back and you realize how pivotal those moments were in where we have all ended up today, right? Like there, we all have those pivotal moments, and so many of those moments took a beautiful turn in my life because of Lynn Artell. So so I'm so excited that she's here, Lynn. I'm so excited. We're all on Zoom. I'm down in Florida, and Kim is up in Statesville, and Lynn, you're out in Phoenix, and it is 9 a.m. Florida time. So it is very early for Lynn right now. But she was kind enough because I got to get to the beach. So we didn't wait too long. So Lynn, welcome, welcome, welcome. I'm so glad you're here. And we're going to let you introduce yourself. So tell our listeners who you are. Not that most of them already know, but anyway.
Well, good morning. And it is good to be here. And 6 o'clock is a normal time in Arizona. Yep. I often take care of several days a week our grandson, Davey, and he arrives, either I pick him up or he comes here somewhere around 6 a.m. So the day has started, and it's a delight to be with Beth and Kim, and a new adventure for me. So Beth is always stretching my territory. So today is no exception. Mm. I am married. I have an absolutely wonderful husband. I always said he's like a bug on a hot griddle. And wherever there's adventure, there's Mike. And my life has been enriched. We have traveled. He has given me opportunities I would have never had. Mm. And it has been fun. We have 3 children.
How long have you been married? Sorry to interrupt.
Do you mind? 1968. So it will be 53 years. That's a long time, but it seems like a blink. And I'm still, what amazes me is I don't think a week goes by, but I don't learn something new. Something.
So when in 68. When in 68?
18th, 1968.
I'm sorry, you cut out. When?
August 18, 1968.
Yep. And my birthday is April 1969.
So I could have had you. Oh, dear. Wouldn't that have been a problem?
So I'll always know how long you've been married.
That's right. That's right.
That's awesome. Anyway, go ahead. Sorry to interrupt.
And then we have 3 children and 6 grandchildren. And have had a variety of ministry opportunities. I was basically a stay-at-home mom initially, although I did get a nursing degree, and I would be very hesitant to put an RN behind my name at this point because I haven't been on the floor or involved in nursing in decades and decades. I chose to be a stay-at-home mom, which I really enjoyed. Now I heard a phrase that I had not heard before. I'm a stay-at-home wife. And mm-hmm. I kind of like that. That was mm-hmm. a new term for me. Just enjoy doing volunteer things such as women's ministry and speaking, just being in the neighborhood and enjoying life. Mm.
Tell us about, okay, so you were a stay-at-home mom. Then you guys, when I first met you, you came to Carolina.
Yes, and that was the first time I officially worked outside the home. Mm-hmm. It was scary to me. I'll never forget the first time I sat in that conference office at the desk, and I wrote a note to each of my children and said, I am so grateful that I was able to stay home with you until this particular time. I have no clue what God is going to do or what I'm going to do, but it's an opportunity that I'm taking. And that was truly an expansion of my talents that God had given me and the ability to spread my wings. And I'm eternally grateful.
Was that then when you went back to school?
Yes, I had gotten an associate degree in nursing, and then realized prior to Carolina, we lived in Syracuse, New York, and Mike was family life director, and we lived on a mini farm, and I took care of three developmentally disabled women, adults that lived in our home 24/7. And we had attended a thing called Caring for Marriage. Mm. And I had never done anything like that before. Mike had asked this couple in upstate New York, Phyllis and Larry Peck, if they would be willing to be family life directors in the conference. And Phyllis and Larry didn't know how to do anything mediocre. They were, I didn't realize they were a precursor to meeting Beth, but they took whatever was ordinary and made it extraordinary. So they went to Andrews University at the time and got certified in caring for marriage. They held it in their home, and at the end of their ministry, they had had over 500 couples go through their home all weekend long. They would take 6 to 8 couples 4 or 5 times a year. And you were pampered, you were enriched, and you had an opportunity to invest in your marriage. And I would say that weekend was a turnaround in not only our marriage, but in my spiritual walk, because I realized that even though I might not fit the protocol to a quote unquote pastor's wife or what people would expect of a of me, I was different, and yet God loved me. Mm. And I think even with all my idiosyncrasies, God loved me. That was the first time Mike and I had experienced communion together. That was the most refreshing washing I have had. And it has continued on to this day. I was sick all weekend. They'd had a poodle in their house, and for some reason or other, I was allergic to poodles. And I was literally sick all weekend. But I would have to say that was the best weekend of my life up to that point, because I had the realization that God loved me. We took different personality tests, and it was just a breath of fresh air and a new beginning.
So you told that story when I asked about your education. So how did those two things tie in? Like, how did that inspire your education?
All right. We had an old farmhouse, and people would say, okay, your church does all this stuff for marriages. What are you going to do for divorce people? Mm-hmm. And the lady Phyllis, who was doing the marriage, said, Lynn, you've got all these twin beds in your old farmhouse. Why don't you do a divorce recovery? Well, I didn't know anything about divorce. I hadn't been in my family. I certainly knew what a challenging marriage was, because that's part of life, but I didn't know about divorce. So I started reading, studying, talking to people, and we actually started a program called Caring for You, which was for divorced people. Mm. We would have women weekend and men weekend. Mm. And I realized that I may have a passion for something, but I needed credibility. I needed authenticity as far as education goes. So I went back to get my undergrad, and it led me into getting a counseling degree.
That's awesome. All right. So That brought you to Carolina. Do you remember the first time we met, or the first time?
I remember the first time I met Chris, and you were sick. And I remember that, but I was trying to recollect, when did I lay eyes on your beautiful face?
I don't know. I know that I saw you in, because I approached you when we were at, I'm trying to remember what it was called. Was it ASI? And you and Mike were speaking about caring for marriage, and we had not yet moved to Carolina. But I mean, we were in Carolina, but we had not moved to the Carolina conference yet.
And when I heard about Caring for Marriage, and you kept talking about it in all the splendor of what it was, and I just kept thinking, now that's a ministry I could wrap my hands, or, you know, like I could just really get excited about, because I loved marriage, one. I desperately desired for other people to experience great marriages, and I love all things splendor. So the way you talked about it just made me think, I mean, I need to get involved in this. And so I came up and talked to you at that point. But it was very, very brief. And it's one of those times, you know, when you've been a presenter and there's probably 50 people standing around trying to talk to you. And so I only spoke to you like for 2 minutes. And then the next time I remember was in the hallway of the old conference office. At some point I came in and saw you and said something again to you about, I might be interested in helping out with kids. No, I saw Mike. That's right. I didn't see you. I saw Mike and I said something to him and he said, well, you'll have to speak to my lovely wife about that.
So how long ago was that? That you guys met?
94,
95.
Wow. Yes.
94. Yeah. Wow. You've been friends for a long time.
Yes. And what an enriching time that has been. I remember thinking, oh, Beth, you've got three little kids and you want to help in a ministry that is a weekend long involved. And I'm going, I can remember thinking, oh, Lord, help me know what to say because I don't want to discourage her and I need her, quote unquote. And oh, I love her passion, but how is she going to juggle that? And you did.
Well, it, you know, I said at the beginning that there have been times that were turning points in my life. And that was a huge one because I was dying. I mean, I was literally just dying. I was struggling with depression. I was, the isolation of being a stay-at-home mom was just suffocating. I had three kids in 2.5 years. And so I was just trying to keep my head above water. I felt like we were financially strapped, so there was so little I could do. I hadn't ever finished my education, and so I felt like what is the purpose other than changing diapers and trying to feed kids? And it was a really hard time for me, really hard time for me. And that was a moment when I heard about that, I thought, you know, maybe I could do something, like I could be a part of something other than, you know, just this. And yeah, it was hard because it was an intense program and it's a lot of work, but boy, I needed it so desperately. And, you know, that whole experience, when I started working with Lynn, you know, I was very young. So I was 24, I think around that, with three little ones. And so I was very young and I was so afraid that people wouldn't understand what I could do. And so, so I remember go ahead, Lynn.
I am amazed how God connects dots, Beth.
Yeah.
God saw the passion of a young married mom. God saw your passion. And he took that passion, not to the extent of neglecting either marriage or parenting, but he took that passion and molded it into something that was, may I use the word perfect, for you and the blessing for everybody else. And I mean, it was amazing to watch you operate. And I don't know, I think Carolyn stepped in a lot then with your children, correct? At that point?
Initially, yes.
And I'm going, God provided someone who needed to be and wanted to be a mom to mom your kids while you were doing your passion. I'm amazed how God connects dots and just puts puzzle pieces together that he's glorified and people are satisfied. because that was a satisfying experience for you. Carolyn got to have children, quote unquote, and your kids got a little taste of someone else healthy parenting. And you were enriched, and everybody that came was just awed by your influence for the weekend. And we can get into that a little bit later, but your influence of that weekend, Beth, was outstanding.
And I also, you know, a lot of credit has to go to you and your willingness to have faith in using this 24-year-old, you know, girl, when you didn't know me at all. And I just keep thinking about this now, right? Because in ministry in general, sometimes we are hesitant to use young people. Well, let me put it this way. We like to use young people as long as they're willing to do it.
Form.
We want to see it done. And does that make, like, we're not willing to let go of reins. And yeah.
I'm going to interrupt you a minute. I can remember going out to our 3-car garage. We had a large home in Carolina. At least it was large to me. And I can remember seeing floral stuff all over the place. Do you remember, Beth?
Oh yeah.
And it was just a few hours before our first weekend, and you took my home and you maximized every single room in my house and made it beautiful. Absolutely beautiful. I can remember going out and seeing a mess, but you saw beauty. And you looked up at me, I will never forget. You're on your knees in grubs and your hair, it was amazing. I should have taken a picture, maybe I did. Maybe there's a picture in the archive somewhere. And you looked at me and you said with this beautiful smile and these bright big eyes, trust me, it'll all be cleaned up by the time the first person arrives. And I can remember thinking, oh God, you're gonna have to help her fast because I don't even know where to begin when it comes to decorating. And yet you did it. And God did it. I don't even think I realized I was in quote unquote investing in you. I think sometimes we just bob along in life and we don't, the intentionality might not be there, but God says, look, you give your life to me. You commit your ways to me. I'll take care of that. And God took care of your passion. And he was glorified, period. And it was for the good of the people. I love that, the way he does that. So yes, sometimes I take it, that sounds very mercenary. Tap into the resources of young people and let God work through them as he's working through you. It was a trust factor between me and you. And look what that trust factor has developed into.
Yep. Yes. I'm continually amazed when anytime I question the process of using people in ministry, I always think of those moments when, and I think of it from your perspective. I mean, oh, the horror. You let this 24-year-old come into your home and go crazy. And when I mean go crazy, I mean go crazy in trying to decorate it, to move things around, to you know, and you're right, the garage was my workshop, and couldn't move. You couldn't walk. There was flowers everywhere, all over the floor, stems and trash, and it was nuts. When I think about your willingness, really to listen to the Holy Spirit, because I agree with what you're saying, like all of it came together in this beautiful thing where you're right. There are so many people were ministered through that process, but that's a Holy Spirit thing. And it takes you as the one who was in charge of that, a willingness to listen to that, and then be crazy enough to say, sure, come on.
I think God does that. God does that. God creates the opportunity, and we take advantage of that opportunity. There was, if I remember correctly, there would be over 40 people that had some involvement in that weekend. 40 people. Mm-hmm. And you not only decorated our house, you decorated Saturday night gala event at the conference office. You went, I mean, it was, you had a lot of responsibility as a 24-year-old. So there again, God enabled you, inspired you to share a passion that you had. It benefited you. It gave you new life. It went back, you went back to your three little ones exhausted, but invigorated. Does that make sense?
There was almost no exhaustion for me. That was truly, yeah.
God does that. Oh, God takes care of every angle. Every single angle. And I think as we, as leaders, Beth, I appreciate your sensitivity. We as leaders sometimes don't realize we're investing. We just, sometimes it's rather mercenary. We have a need and there's someone to fulfill the need and we say, oh yes, there's a connection. But God takes it to a different level. I think of up in Maine when, as women's ministry director, there was a gal, a pastor's wife, who loved helping when we did ministry and we did a God and Shoes ministry. And she said, oh, Lynn, I will take care of the refreshment table. And she made it beautiful, but don't let me wash the people's feet because we would provide a spa. And we would go into homeless shelters and various places and just provide a spa for the women. Well, one lady, older lady, took her hand and said, I want you to wash my feet. I will never forget the look on that girl's face, the pastor's wife's face, as she looked at me and shook her head gently back and forth, no. And I didn't know what to do. And this lady would not let go of her hand. She would not give up. And Jeanette says, oh, Lynn will do that. She loves doing feet. And I do. And the lady looked at me and she said, no, I want her to do it. And again, that fear came over her. And I said, oh, well, let's see. Somehow or other between that, let's see, the Holy Spirit talked to her. The next thing I knew, she was getting a basin, filling it with warm water, putting in some fragrances, and soaking the lady's feet. Mm. That was the turning point for that woman. Mm. And from there began a ministry. She now goes all over the world teaching sewing classes. Now you say, well, how does it go from feet to sewing classes? But when she gave in to God, who was inviting her to humble herself and start low, he maximized her interest. And we went to Guatemala and she taught sewing to the older children in the orphanage. And we brought sewing machines and gave to them. To this day, they are sewing for other kids so they can go to school because they need uniforms. I mean, that's just a slight example of what is happening now. If I went into the ministry she's doing now, it's phenomenal. But God sees an opportunity and takes a willing heart, connects everything and maximizes it for his glory and for the good of that person and the rippling effect in the world, really. So I think you're rippling out, Beth, in Carolina Conference, and now you have opportunity. I think it's exciting to see the way that God does that.
That is, go ahead, Kim.
Well, I've been sitting here listening to you, Lynn, completely fascinated on how you weave God into every, like your glasses are God glasses. You see his hand, you see his, from the moment we started having a conversation, you have woven God into everything. You see his hand in everything. How does one become like that?
Boy. I didn't always feel that way, Kim. The God that I knew was distant. It was almost as if I was born and then I was on my own. The God that I knew was it was not inclusive of me. And it was, I thought I had to do life on my own, and it was very frustrating. I can remember going to, well, I remember studying my Sabbath school lesson as a teenager, so I could go to Sabbath school and say, oh yes, I studied 7 times. Now, if I missed a day, I did twice the next day so that I could still say 7 times. Isn't that silly? And I think God was merciful. And he said, oh, Lynn, you're doing the best you can, but there's going to come a day. There's going to come a day when you see how much I love you and how valuable you are. You're not just a worker. You're not just a person who can accomplish things. You are a person who's incredibly in my heart, and I want to be in your heart. And I think that came over a span of realizing who I was and who he was. He was not an exacting God that was after me because I didn't make the bed right. He wasn't an exacting God because of X, Y, Z, of the way I lived. But he was an excited God. When I woke up in the morning, he said, oh good, she's awake and I want to be with her. But I never saw that until a lot of things in life happened. And I realized that he was excited when I woke up in the morning. And I think when I looked up all the morning verses, Psalm 143 is a beautiful verse. In the morning, I wake up and then I'm going to trust you all day. I didn't know what it was like to trust. So when Beth planted the seed that said, trust me, it'll all be cleaned up, that was like God telling me, Lynn, Beth is in your life. If you can trust her, you can trust me. Little did I know it was really reversed. If you could trust God, you could trust Beth. But for my humanness, and I can remember having a Nordic track, not an electric one, but one that you pulled on the strings, you know, the things. And I remember being out in the garage and realizing how much God loved me and listening to a country gospel song. And when I heard it later, it had no correlation to what was in my mind, but Jesus is the answer for you, for you, for you. And I would say that I've said that probably thousands upon thousands upon thousands of times. Lynn, Jesus is the answer for you. Jesus is the answer for you. Yes, did I like to exercise? Yes, did I like to eat right? Yes, did I check off my devotional life? And initially my devotional life, because I didn't see any end product, that was an investment that I had to make just because it was the right thing to do. And then God connected my heart with his passion for me. I don't know if that makes any sense.
So are you saying then it is in understanding, more than understanding, it is really receiving the love that, the adoration, how God's deep, 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 extravagant affection and love for you that allows you to see him in everything.
Exactly. I think you've said it well. You've said it well. And it's, you know, not, it's like I went to college and the first passion I love that word, that I had for God came in a book called Desire of Ages. And it was the life and teachings of Jesus. It was a required course my freshman year. Mm-hmm. Well, I would go up to this little study cubbyhole, and I started falling in love with Jesus then. I would say that was my introduction, my first year of college. But I had a lot of tough layers. And it wasn't this instant thing. And when I read about Mary Magdalene and seven times, you know, and I'm going, oh, Lord, thank you. Because I wasn't instantly, a page didn't turn and all of a sudden Lynn Ortel was, oh, God loves me and I love him. It wasn't like that. It was gradual and slow and almost methodical in a God way, if that makes sense. It wasn't a checklist methodical. It was God strategizing and saying, okay, I'm going to show her I love her here. I'm going to show her I love her here. And I can remember getting D minus minus on my tests for life and teachings of Jesus. I'll never forget a paper that I had F minus minus, but I fell and started falling in love with Jesus. And I don't know why. I didn't care where he did the miracles and what came first and all of this stuff, where it even was in scripture. I was just reading that book and realizing there's a God up there and he may love me. Me. Lynn Whitehead at the time. He loves me. And that was the beginning of a seed that he planted. And I will be forever grateful that he never gave up on me. He was persistent. He was consistent. And he, through the years, and you remember, I was a stubborn girl. I grew up in Connecticut, girl. You know, you know, just you pull yourself up by your bootstraps. You march forward. You know, you do your thing. But God never gave up. And he sent me people like Beth Grissom. And many others that accented my life. And
I think that, go ahead, sorry.
And he sent me Mike Ortel. He sent me Mike Ortel that showed me that no matter what, he loved me. I can remember when we were first married and he'd say, oh baby, I love you. And I would say, are you ready for this one? This is very embarrassing, but it was true. And I have to, you know, the truth sets you free so you can love more, right? He would say, oh, baby, I love you. And I'd say, yeah, right. Now,
wow.
How's that for a newly married couple? I had so encapsulated my heart and protected my heart not to get hurt. And I didn't even realize I was doing it. And God said, Lynn, I have a plan for you.
So, Lynn, I think... I'm just thinking about, there's so many who are listening right now that I'm sure are thinking, I don't know that God is being persistent with me. I don't know that he's pursuing me. But we know he is, right? Like he is so pursuing them. And I think that is the beauty in a testimony of a life well lived, because your testimony at some point in your life early on would have been, I don't think he's pursuing me.
Mm-hmm. Right? Exactly. I'm on my own.
I'm saying is, for all of those who feel like I'm not sure that God is, and I don't care what your age is, right? It doesn't matter. You may be in a place where you're not sure. But to know that God does, he is, he will, it is such a beautiful thing. And that just like you at one point weren't sure, that doesn't mean God was any less pursuing you at that point.
Correct. I think there's something to be said for Micah 6:8. You do justly, you love mercy, and you walk humbly. There's something to be said, and I didn't even realize I was doing that. And I'm sure I fell off and went in a ditch many times because I didn't walk justly. I'm not saying that. But I think when you have, God gives you the desire to even search him out. And when I would read scripture, and I have to tell you, I was bogged down by the I loved the newer versions. I'll just word it that way. Mm-hmm. I loved the newer versions that related to me where I was today. Mm-hmm. And I remember when I started falling in love again, I remember Steps to Christ. I loved mm-hmm. that verse, but it was too heavy for me. It was too heavy. And somebody said, oh, Lynn, you can do Steps to Jesus. And I said, Steps to Jesus? What is that? Well, it was a simpler, maybe more relevant in terminology. That was a huge bridge into accepting God's love for me, realizing that he did love me, and accepting, that's another whole area. Mm-hmm. You know, you can know it, but then to say, thank mm-hmm. you, God. And gratitude, I realized that gratitude was a, even though I didn't sense it, by saying, thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. And even saying thank you to Mike. You know, there were things I just took for granted. And when I started saying, oh my, thank you for XYZ, what a difference gratitude makes mm-hmm. in the ability to continue to accept God's love for us. Mm.
So Lynn, I've always known you as someone who is constantly reaching out to people. You know, you talk about Mike on a, what did you say? Like a
bug on a hot griddle. A bug on a hot griddle.
You're a little that way too. I mean, you're not like a sit around and eat bonbons kind of woman, and not there's anything wrong with eating, but anyway. I just wonder, like, how do you, because I know, and I know anyone out there who does ministry understands that there is a serious fatigue that can take place when you are always needed. And, you know, I watch you no matter where we go with Lynn. And when you're with Mike, it's like on a whole nother level too, because every stranger is not a stranger, but wherever you go, people are always flocking to you. And in a way, needing to spend time with you, you know, you kind of get that, which I believe is because of that connection with God that you have. I think when any of us have a deep connection with God, people are more drawn to you. So anyway, I know that there's that, but with that comes this exhaustion, right? The constant needing, people needing you. How do you handle that? What replenishes Lynn so that you are able? Because there are times I look at you and think, how on earth does she do that? And, you know, keep going.
That's a very good question. It took me a long time to realize that I did get exhausted, because God does that too. You know, he doesn't say come apart and rest a while without realizing. He doesn't say mourn with those who mourn. He doesn't say those things unless our human body does that. We do get tired. We need to come apart. I didn't realize that. And I'm afraid that there was a point in my life when I disrespected that. I actually, Mike was very wise, and actually I took some time away and had to replenish, because my mind was absolutely weary. And I went to a friend's house and they gave me a little book called Let Go. And they said, we just want you to rest. We want you to read, and we'll be back when we're done, and we'll provide supper for you at night. And that was a refreshing. And then after that, I realized I was not, what's the word, inexhaustible. I needed replenishing. And then when someone said, you know, Lynn, you're really an introvert, and I laughed, but I get replenished not with people as much as solitude, going for a walk, going for a jog, going out and being by myself. Mm-hmm. And when I say being by myself, that means being with God too, because I just pour out to him. Yeah. And I think that I never realized that in my early stage, and my family suffered. I have to be honest. Unfortunately, I would be short-tempered. I would be not sensitive to their needs. As I look back, to me, it was just quote unquote mm-hmm. normal. I was just living and I was tired. And so I was testy. That was my word. I'm testy, you know, but really I was not being respectful of my body mm-hmm. in its human form. Mm-hmm. And so I think as you ask, what refreshes me is solitude. I don't, you know, sometimes it's the middle of the night. Most of the time it's early in the morning. Sometimes it's just during the day. I've set my clock now so that I can take a few minutes at noon to read and pray, just to be replenished. And the older you get, the more replenishing you need. I realized that if Daniel did 3 times a day, Lynn Ortel needs to do at least that much, because I'm sure he was younger. So yes, quiet time, alone time, along with all the other health stuff, but that is a powerful refresher. And just grabbing a Bible verse, and I didn't know Bible verses. I have to tell you, I didn't know that you could take a Bible promise and actually claim it. Apart and rest a while. Cast all your cares upon me because I care for you. Call upon me in the day of trouble. I will deliver you and you'll glorify me. And I'm going, oh Lord, no, I am not glorifiable. You cannot be glorifiable in the way I'm acting right now. But he says, you come to me, I'll take care of it. And I've had to learn that is a part of the refreshing part of my life, is that I pour out and he takes the pieces and rearranges it into a more beautiful puzzle than what I gave him.
That's so good. So I'm wondering, both of us are grandmothers, and there's nothing like being a grandmother to, how do I say this, to make you reflect on what you did as a parent. Or didn't do as a parent. So what is something that you wish you knew as a parent that you know now as a grandparent?
Wow. Probably time. You know, time to me today is not the same as it was when you had to do 8 laundry loads a day and on and on and on. And so I think taking time and grabbing a book and cuddling up, and from the time they were little, just making that book alive. And Beth, something you said that I didn't have the opportunity to do with my children that you did with yours. You said that time was of the essence. And when you read them a Bible story from My Bible Friends or wherever, that you asked God, Lord, enrich me as I am sharing your principles, your word, your love with these children. I didn't do that. I was sectionalized. I didn't blend it. Mm-hmm. And I think with my grandchildren, now that I'm reading them stories, and it doesn't have to be just a Bible story. It can be Charlotte's Web. It can be something that is, you know, just a good book. But I asked God before, Lord, show me, enrich my mind too. And so he's very capable of doing multiple things. And that's one thing of just cuddling up with them as with a book. I wish I had done more of that with my children. Playing games, oh my, we can spend hours playing games. I'm amazed at what you can teach playing games. By just playing games. I'm afraid I was quite functional. I can remember going to church with you and your children, and the children had just as much a part of the church service as adults. And I would go, oh my, it's church, you know. But all of those kids are actively involved in church today. Because as toddlers and as little primary kids, they were integrally involved in church. So there are a lot of things that I think you pull children in. I would have pulled my children in more. Not that I didn't want to enter their world, because we enjoyed entering their world. I would have entered their world more and also pulled them into our world on their level and maximize those opportunities.
That's awesome.
And you're right, grandchildren do teach you a lot of lessons. My mind is saying, Lynn, that's not the message you want to send to Davy. That's not the message you want to send to Brianna. That's not, and so you're more aware of saying, okay, has God taught you that? And how can you kid-size it to make it relevant for them now? Because God has taught us a bunch of stuff in our decades, and now to teach it to them. And I'm just grateful to have the opportunity to be with grandkids.
You know, grandchildren put me in therapy, and that's no reflection on the grandchild. I only have one right now, although there's another one on the way.
Congratulations.
I don't know if I said that on the podcast. Have I said that on the podcast, Kim?
No, I don't think so. I don't think so.
We just found out our daughter is expecting. So we are so excited. We'll have number two on the way. But the point is that I, in holding my baby grandson right up soon after he was born, I just remembered that my one great regret as a mother was, you know, it brings back so many memories, right? And as I was holding him, I could just remember the feeling when I was holding my children of such depression I just wasn't in a good place. And I remember thinking much later and more recently, you know, I really wish I had taken the time, valued my children and my husband and myself enough to take the time to go to therapy, that I really needed that. And so I decided it's never too late. And if I'm going to be a good grandmother, then I'm going to do it now. So that's what started me on the journey. So yeah, there's definitely that happens for sure.
Beth, but look how compassionate our God is. Mm. You were depressed. And I don't mean to elevate, but look at your kids today. They are phenomenal children. They are phenomenal adults. They may have issues. We all do. I don't know of anything specific. But look how God compensated and knew the passions of your heart and honored that. He honored your passion to be a good wife. And believe me, when you would speak about Chris, even now, your eyes just glow. It's like wattage that is too bright.
I do kind of like that boy, that's for sure.
Yes, and so, look, you know,
I think, you know, God blesses us and works with us and our children, but I do think that there is such value. I'm thankful for people like Kim who have continually reminded me of the importance of therapy and counseling and going and getting it, and, you know, valuing your mental health at all stages is just so important. And I far too long was just willing to, I spent too much time being critical of myself and seeing it as my own problem that I needed to fix, not as something that I needed help for.
And I think that's the way we can inadvertently look at our grandchildren, that they are growing and we need to quote unquote fix them because we want them to not make the mistakes or whatever. And God says, no, not fix, love, love, love them.
Love our kids, love our grandkids, no matter.
That's right. And love ourselves.
As he loves us.
That's exactly right.
All right. We've almost got a whole hour. Can you believe it? So Lynn was so nervous about this. You can't tell, Lynn, that you were nervous about this at all.
Well,
You did great, darling. You did great.
You know, it's interesting. We were talking about maybe having a thing of joy, you know, and how joy was going, because that's your theme, joy in the weeds.
Yeah, I had a whole question on that.
Well, you know, may I wrap up?
Yes.
This is fascinating. You talk about grandchildren. We live over 1,000 miles away from most of our grandchildren. Mm-hmm. God has provided that we can see them often. But I want to put out a kudos to God again, how he compensates when we can't be there. Easter, yesterday, my son and his two children were invited to an Easter brunch at a home of, they're called Jacobsons, Alice and Dale Jacobson. Years ago, when their relative went through divorce and they wanted their two children, Alice wanted the two children of their relatives to experience family. Every Friday night, they came over for a meal. Friday mm-hmm. night after Friday night, year after year after year mm-hmm. for 7 years. Mm-hmm. They are doing this, and they're older. They've gotten the decades. Those children are now adults, and they have children of their own. But they have not stopped loving and doing what God has called them to do. And now what they're doing, they're inviting my grandchildren and our son to Sabbath dinner, Sabbath after Sabbath after, so they can have a family sit down meal mm. week, mm-hmm. week after week. God compensates. Mm. God compensates. And talk about our children. Yes. Is he loving our grandchildren through the Jacobsons? Absolutely. It doesn't stop, Beth. Yeah. And even though we may not be able to give them because of our limitation of either emotionality or time, and it doesn't mean we're not supposed to work on it. That's not what I'm saying. But our God compensates, and his love is so strong that he will take someone who lives near to love on those grandkids when I can't be there. Praise his name.
Oh, amen to that. So we always end this podcast with one question that all of us answer, which is, what something in the last 24 hours has brought you joy, laughter, or a smile? Joy in the last 24 hours. Is it just that, Lynn, the meal, or do you have something?
That was huge. That was huge. And when I talked to my granddaughter, she said, do you know what Aunt Alice did? She gave me a gift and she gave me chocolate.
Is there anything else? Anything else?
Yes. And this is really personal. Yesterday, for the first time, I have resumed walking because mm-hmm. I know I need it. And yesterday I did my quote unquote old lady jog. I can't jog like I used to, but I sure do better than what I have been doing in the last several months. And God allowed me to go for a mile, and oh, it felt so good. So that was a joy spot that was unbelievable.
I don't know that you will ever hear Beth Grissom say that my joy spot was going for a jog. I just praise God that he created all of us different and doesn't require the same things out of all of us.
But she might say that she did another princess marathon. You never know. I've never done that one.
Not for joy. That's awesome, Lynn. Kim, last 24 hours.
Well, this one's easy. I too love mornings, just like you do, Lynn. And this morning it was a little chilly, but I bundled up and I had a fleece blanket and had my Bible. And I just looked to my left, and right on my left, as the sun was coming up over the horizon, it was reflecting on this beautiful yellow Gerber daisy that I bought yesterday. And the just the way the sun was on it, and then it was yellow, and it was absolutely glorious. And I it was just like, how God in this sin-sick world reveals himself to us and he offers us beauty, even though we live in a very sin-sick world.
Wow.
Yeah.
That pretty much sums up this whole hour.
Yes, it really does.
Yeah. Yeah. So I told you I am down here in Florida. And yesterday was my first day on a plane in over a year. And that was interesting. But no, mine has my joy moment. I was trying to think because yesterday there were I love to travel. I love to travel. I love everything about it. I love the waiting. I love the unexpected. I love it if I get bumped. Like in some ways, I almost just hope that some catastrophe is going to happen.
Funny.
So I have to just navigate the whole situation. I love that. So there's nothing about travel I don't enjoy. And so so yesterday was full of things, but no, probably the greatest joy in the last 24 hours was just a little bit ago. I got up early this morning and I was going to just sneak out onto the patio. We have there's a pool out here and it overlooks kind of a pondish marsh area. There's lots of egrets. There's, great white herons and I think blue herons. Anyway, they're flying all around. And one obviously has young ones. And so we've been watching this beautiful white bird continually go and get fish and then going back and taking care of her young. Anyway, it's been fascinating to watch. It was just so beautiful. But the real joy moment was when I got up to go out to have my worship, my sister was already awake and she was headed out there too. And so we just got
to
go out and I still got to get some time reading, but then just having conversation with her and looking at the beauty that God has created both in her and also just in the scenery. It was, and I love a morning more than anything, the fresh air.
Mm-hmm. Amen.
It's been a little cold. And so that was just so, so incredibly beautiful. And then knowing I got to come have this conversation, it was like just rich all the way around. So, yeah.
You know, I was thinking when you were talking and when Kim was talking about that, isn't there a song that says, "In the morning when I rise, give me
Jesus."
Yeah.
Amen.
Morning, and he reveals himself in such little ways and splendor. I mean, nothing limits him.
You know, and Kim, just like you were saying, even though we're in this sin-sick world, and I think we'll just leave it with this, with the listeners, and that is that no matter how dark your world may seem at different times, and maybe it is right now, just challenge you to look for how God is there and right beside you and the splendor that there is around you, and look for that because it's there. He is loving you. His arms are wrapped around you. And even in the most challenging, most dark times. So, yeah. Lynn.
Thank you, Lynn. This has been really delightful. I think we need to have you on again because I believe that you have so much more to offer our listeners. You have a lifetime to offer to our listeners.
Yeah, I think we should make it like a regular segment, conversation with Lynn, and we'll just.
Oh, Beth, again, you've stretched my opportunity level here. So thank you. And Kim, has been wonderful. To get a little better acquainted with you. I have envied that ever since I met you at the fall retreat. And I thought, oh, how could I get to know Kim a little better? And so this is a little bit of a window open. I want a door open next time.
Well, next time.
Thank you.
Sounds great. Well, thank you so much, Lynn. This has been awesome. So,
and happy birthday, Beth.
Thank you.
Yes, I won't ask you the year, but I can figure it out because of the beginning of
I have to always count and figure it out. You know, I'm old enough now, I can never seem to remember.
Well, maybe that's a good thing.
So what am I going? Is this 52? Or is it 53? If I was born in 69. 52. Tim is mouthing 52 to assure me that I was correct. So yeah, 50. I don't mind sharing my age. I look at it this way. That is just every, like if I try to downplay it and say, you know, I'm in year 29 or whatever again, that's just not giving God credit for all those days. And I'm just so thankful for every single day. And, you know, it, the alternative is death. So
that's right.
I'll take it. I'll take it. So yeah, 52.
My reason for saying my age is much more vain than yours.
What's that?
Because I'm 53 and people always say, oh, you're 53. You don't look 53. And I'm like, you better believe it, baby. So my reason for telling people my age is a whole lot more vain than giving God glory for all the years.
You know, it's funny, Kim, because when I was young, like when I was working with Lynn and when I started having my kids, of course, I started having my kids really young, and people would always make these really disparaging comments like, you're just a baby having baby or babies, or you're so young. And I wanted so desperately to be taken seriously, you know, that I was not just a baby. Like I was not too young. I was a mom. I was a wife. I was, you know, so on and so forth. And so, oh yeah, if people think I'm older than I am, I'm fine with that. I'll take it. I'm fine with that. So anyway. Well, Lynn, love you so much. Thank you for being here. And
have fun on the beach.
I will. And for everyone out there, hey, if you're struggling in the weeds, go find some joy.
That's exactly right.
Both at the same time, as Kim says. Joy in one hand and struggle in the other. All right. Have a great day, everyone. Bye.
Bye, y'all.
Yay, Lynn Artell.
You know what I wanted to say? But I realized we were timed out. The Easter weekend, remember darkness came at noon and hid Christ when he was on the cross? And then when did dark lift? At 3 o'clock, right? Mm. Dark lift, but the situation didn't change. That's another good thing for your viewers, that the dark, they may be in the weeds, but their situation may not change, but light comes.
Wow, that's
God
good.
Will not keep you in darkness. He will provide light. Even though the situation doesn't change, Jesus wasn't taken off the cross at that point.
Wow. Right.
You know, isn't that fascinating? I'm not being recorded.
I mean, we're still recording, so maybe we'll
We're recording, but that's fine. Oh. No, it's fine. Just keep going.
Oh. No, well, I heard
what I'm saying is we may just let them hear it. That's so good.
Because that's really good.
So good, Lynn, because it's so true.
It really...
I heard a sermon yesterday, and that was one of the things that he emphasized was, you know, that even though things may seem dark, dark, and God will
not just seem dark. They are dark. I want to acknowledge there is a realness in that darkness, right? It's legit. It's not just, yes.
Mm-hmm. That's right. That's right. That's right. So anyway, that was just a thing that sustained me yesterday when negative thoughts can easily come into a brain. And it's a huge discipline. It takes a lot of energy to say, wait a minute, this may be true, but I'm not camping here. I am not going to exonerate the weeds. I'm not going to pretend that they are my flowers. I'm not going to.
Sorry, I really like dandelions. So people think those are weeds, but I love dandelions.
But that's still actually a flower, too.
Yeah, I know. I know. I love them. They're so gorgeous.
That was the first flower Mike ever picked for me. And he poured it in a little buttonhole up here, and it was loaded with ants.
Oh, no.
So you know, Lynn, we have a new branding, which we haven't actually talked about here on the podcast. But anyway, we have a new logo that is a dandelion, and because you know the dandelion just so much represents weeds and joy at the same time. I mean, they are weeds, but so many of us have experienced dandelions, and they've created so much joy. And Kim and I just found out in the process of working on something that both of us love dandelions. Yeah. We have always loved them. I love picking the yellow ones. I love blowing the white ones when they're, you know, the puffy. Yes. Yeah. Yeah. So that's our new logo is a.
And God does not waste the weeds in our life. No. He does not waste the weeds. And
for sure.
Sometimes we have a good, bad mentality, you know.
Yes.
And I slip into that because I grew up with it, right, wrong, you know, a strong line in between. And I'm not saying there isn't right, wrong, but weeds, God does not waste anything.
Anything.
He doesn't waste a weed. He doesn't waste a pain. I'll tell you, I can hardly wait to face, you know?
Yeah, for sure. Well, Lynn, thank you. You were.
You're welcome. I have to ask him. What are you doing today?
I thought you would be. What? As I knew.
What am I doing today? Yeah. Well, I'm probably going to do some watercolor painting. Because today is my day off. So yeah. See, I'm going to show off a little bit.
Oh, that's beautiful.
Yeah, Kim is a beautiful artist.
Oh, you. Oh.
Wow. I've got a couple paintings I'm doing of my children that I'm afraid to finish. So I just need to like buckle down and finish them. Because if they're finished and they're bad, then if they're not finished and they're bad, then okay, they're not finished.
So, well, isn't that out of my work, girl? Isn't that the lights? You know?
Yeah.
Oh dear. Yeah.
I might work outside a bit too. I've got there's some planting. I want to plant some kale and stuff. So
good for you. Good for you.
Yeah.
Wow.
Well, Lynn, I hope you have a wonderful day. I've got to go because I don't want
to. Okay, yes.
A Davy fun day.
Oh,
there you go.
Tell him I said hello. He may not remember me, but tell him I said hello.
Oh, you took him up the mountain.
Yes.
That was the first time we climbed up Camelback with him. And you, oh girl, you said, Lynn, there again, look at that. Lynn, trust me, I will take care of him. And you were just trodden up there and I was kind of falling behind.
This day, I don't know how I got up that mountain. That was because I did, and I didn't feel like I was going to pass out and die, which I expected. So it was a God thing for sure.
Well, we'll have to do it again.
All right. Love you.
All right, guys. Love you.
Love you.
Bye. Okay.
Thank you so much for joining us today. We would really love to hear from you. So please find us. We're on Facebook and Instagram. Just search for Joy in the Weeds. You can also email us. Our email address is joy@carolinasda.org. That's joy@carolinasda.org. Now we hope that today, as you navigate the weeds, you will also hold on to moments of joy.
This podcast is a production of the Carolina Conference of the Seventh-day Adventist Church.